All right, is everybody here?
We are from our side, yes.
Okay, I think we are from our side as well. I'm gonna pass around this to the development team, which side should we go to? So, welcome. My name is Elza Heisel McCoy from Area One. I'm your host for today. You are being recorded, so keep that in mind. We're looking at sort of a 15-minute or so presentation from the applicant team, and then about half an hour discussion with the panel, and then we'll provide folks, members of the public who are here to provide comments. I should also, I guess, say that an application has, have you submitted an application? I know it hasn't been accepted as complete, but have you submitted?
I don't think.
Okay, so it's been submitted, has not been accepted as complete. Is the intent that this would be your sketch plan visit? Okay, so
yeah.
So that means that at the end of this, we will do we'll identify any red flags to achieving the minimum 10 exceptional design points required by the overlay zone, and then we'll take a straw vote to support the project with conditions, or not support the project. So with that, I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. Bob Harris, the worker with Brewer, on the rest of our team, Scott Struzner with South Bay, Joel Sherman is here for the South Bay as well, Sophie Knoppel with Flyshop, and then we've got two of the architects from Callison RTKL, Tom Frank and James Hamilton. Tom will be doing the presentation. First of all, yeah, we had planned on getting to the DAP prior to this, but unfortunately we had to pull the plug on an earlier date, and so we're a little bit, forced before the part here, but still looking forward to your comments. The client here is from out of town, but they have extensive experience in the type of senior housing that we're going to be proposing here, and even if a couple members at the table here are not interested in the whole phenomenon, it certainly is a growing and important part of housing in the county and elsewhere, so we're looking to take advantage of that. I think it's a great location because of its walkability, its proximity to transit, it's just an area full of restaurants and shops and everything, medical care, et cetera. It's a great location, so we're excited about it. A little background, you all locals and you know this, that the site has been sitting vacant for quite a while. It used to be a gas station, and it was going to be a multifamily building. The Bainbridge company got approval for a 225-unit project there before the sector plan amendment, and then it's just sat there, and I'm not at liberty, nor do I know what all the economics of it, but it didn't work for some reason. But with the new zoning in place and the sector plan, we think this will work very well. That plan is still valid, by the way. It's valid until 2023. But our preference is to go forward with the senior project that we're going to present to you today. We had a community outreach meeting, gotten some comments from them. We are going to continue working with the community as we go forward and with you and staff, of course. So that's sort of the background. I'll let Tom kind of walk you through his design work.
Okay. I think I'll stand up that way.
Point
the screen.
Just don't touch it.
Don't
touch
the screen.
Screen.
I realize there's a gap I need to
mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
RTKL for almost 25 years, so close to home. So I think the site location on Wisconsin, Montgomery, and Hampton, very prominent site. This sort of gives a feel for the mass of the building we're proposing in place. Wisconsin here. So we'll go on, James, next. Putting it in context, just with the zoning plan, I think you're probably familiar, but we're right in the midst of that Wisconsin corridor. Views from the gray-looking, the pink is our building, with other proposed, I touched it, it didn't do anything, that's good. future buildings shown in white. And so, sure, these are large buildings, but in context, it's just one of many. As we mentioned, it's pretty much literally just right in the heart of the corridor. The Purple Line new station will be just about 200 feet away, 500 feet to the Red Line. So as Bob alluded to, great location for seniors, walkability, adding regional transit, so on. And it's a existing gas station site. Here you see the general height limits in the area. We're at 250 here, but 290, and then of course it drops off as you move towards the west. So getting into some of the intent of the downtown sector plan as it relates to, I mean, massing is really the bulk, I would say, of what we're going to focus on today. And so, you know, we've carefully gone through all of these expectations and desires, and the fact that it's human scaled and that it is pedestrian friendly and contributes to the urban environment positive way, of course, is the intent of all of that. So as we move through just sort of our design goals from a broad overview, how, you know, we start out with the setbacks. We're taking the approach of the Wisconsin being the urban boulevard. We have a 25-foot setback on Wisconsin, and then 20 feet on both Hamden and Montgomery as mixed-use downtown streets. And then when you sort of extrude that up to 250-foot height limits, you know, we're looking to begin to split the mass here to create something that's less imposing. And then this location at the corner of Montgomery and Wisconsin is particularly relevant because the street kinks a little bit. And so it's a very visible building, particularly as you're coming from Wisconsin from the northern direction. And so we want to enhance and embellish that corner condition. And then here at the bottom, we're starting to, it's sort of faint, and you'll see it better as we move through the presentation. But this building has independent living at the top of the building, and then it has assisted living, and then it has memory care. And so there are three different unit types, and there are amenity spaces for independent and assisted that are expressed, and they begin to create these horizontal lines on the facade, which further breaks up the mass. And so it sort of becomes this vertical and horizontal. We do have retail at the base, around 4,500 square feet. That will be at the corner of Wisconsin and Montgomery. And then in terms of our, you know, fundamental access point for the building off of Hamden, and then service coming in off Montgomery, and parking access also off of Hamden after you drop off. So
before you leave, that one quick introduction. So the approved project there today had all of its loading and its vehicular access on Montgomery Avenue. We believe that it's better to split that and to put the vehicular access and the pedestrian access on Hamden Lane.
And why is that?
Quieter street, you know. Montgomery is more of a thoroughfare, and we'd like to limit the traffic there.
Loading is still on Montgomery?
Loading is still on Montgomery, yes.
And then just seeing that site in a little more detail, 25 feet as far as the setbacks and the height limit, you know, the potential for 8 additional feet with the 25% of the floor plates. So it's sort of big picture stuff. And then going on to the actual site, and as Bob mentioned, drop off here, and then parking, ingress and egress. And of course, in these building types with seniors, there is a lot of that happening. There aren't a lot of cars that they generate, which is nice. And so there's not a big parking demand, but in terms of a covered drop off, you pull under the building and you either park or continue on off Hamden. It's quiet, works well, we think, in that respect. And then service loading and unloading off on. Yeah, we've indicated the bike lane that is part of the master plan that's drawn to scale.
Pushing service as far back away from Wisconsin as we can as well.
The other thing that this slide shows is the relatively small size of the site at 18,679, which is one of the challenges to the architects of Delbert.
And there's, you can see Montgomery has this angle to it, and so there's a slight angle here, so we're dealing with a lot of angles and kind of a constrained site size. Going back to this, you know, methods to reduce bulk, you know, we are applying four or five of these to our building. Our floor plate is a little over 13,000, which is not really very large, so smaller floor plate. The unique geometry, you'll see we're doing some things that apply to that. The articulation of the facade, we'll show you that as well, and then doing things to minimize the apparent facade face dimension. We'll show you that. So, you know, simplistically, what we're doing, as we mentioned, we sort of, you begin with this extrusion, you apply the programmatic ILALMC, and then we are creating that vertical line to begin to find a way to break down the mass. And then we're pivoting that corner to acknowledge the angle here, the change in the grids. And really, you know, part of this concept is like there's this pivot in life as you're moving into this building from your home or something. So we thought that was kind of a neat relationship there. And then we're raising up the parapet to acknowledge the corner. We are proposing that allowable floor plate above 250 to be sort of a winter garden. And then we would like to have a trellis space with a usable roof. We have a green roof that is part of the, you know, requirements for the stormwater issues, but also will be used by the residents. And think that in these kind of urban environments where space is limited, if you can have people, you know, go up the elevator and have kind of like in this building where you have trees inside and lots of sunlight and a wandering garden or a pathway with a special plant, all that pretty appropriate, and we're excited about that. So put it all together. This is the mass. You know, one thing, this is a one-point perspective, and so visually it appears that the building is getting larger at the top. It's not. It's just it's a vanishing point there towards the bottom. So don't let that throw you, but you can begin to see these sort of reveals that indicate the MCAL, IL, and then the green roof that will be utilized on top of the building. Here it's even clearer how that massing responds to the uses. And you know, the amenities will include, of course, dining, and there's a whole list of really nice amenities for both the independent and the assisted living. And then even at the lower levels, for example, on level two, that memory care requires, I mean, statutory requirement to have an outdoor space. And so there's sort of an indention on the building at that point, which is really in that sensitive sort of step back zone that helps that break down the scale as well. And in terms of the target market and the residents and, you know, what they bring to the community, and what the community offers them, very rich opportunities there. And I know we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but just our thoughts were that, you know, we're sort of thinking that brick is the primary building material, but, you know, we feel like it shouldn't be a glassy building and the scale of brick. But what we hope to do is apply some sort of more cutting edge ideas about brick patterning and so on that's feasible with technology and prefab, things like that. But in general, you know, thinking a fairly familiar, you know, grid of windows that can be handled in many different ways, since we're trying to stack these three unit plans, which don't necessarily align, we think that's an opportunity for some real interesting facade.
So on that point, just for some that don't know senior housing in particular, assisted living memory care typically don't have patios or balconies, so the facade on the lower level will look different than the facade above, because independent living has balconies or this case, we do a glass enclosure depending on what level you're on. So there'd be a difference there between the different segments within the
community. Right. And so we're trying to let the uses define the difference, but that will, you know, I don't think we want to have memory care and so on, and the ALFB like totally different, but there's a difference that helps to create that sort of base middle top character. Also, just in the administration, the architecture, we have accommodated the required public outdoor space now. Hard to see from there. I imagine there's a blue line that's about over 1,300 square feet. We're obligated to do like 934, so we definitely have room to accommodate that requirement. You see the drop-off access and then parking service here. And then again, this you know, the bike lane is pulling the curb out. So, you know, we will have some green here and, of course, the long line of Wisconsin, which we need for our permeable green space. So, and then lobby space. And then retail. Just, you know, the character of the streetscape and landscape along Wisconsin and the hardscape suggested here. And just so you understand or get a sense of, you know, this is the high, medium, and low, if you will, and you start to see how there is modulation of the really driven by the program in this case, which also gives scale to the building, particularly down at the lower portion of the building. And then this rooftop where this is the winter garden, greenhouse, if you will, the core is here, and then an outdoor space, and then a pathway around that, MEP and green roof. And then this is sort of where the enhanced, you know, it's really an extension of the facade, and we would like to like put a trellis over this or somehow architecturally integrate that into this greenhouse idea. And then at night, some architectural enhancement lighting for this crown of the building is what we achieved there. You can see here too, we hadn't really mentioned, there's, you know, we're sort of acknowledging these angles, and so we have kind of an inflection, kind of a line that defines that corner and breaks down the mass. Rooftop opportunities, some sections showing, you know, the different uses, the amenity spaces, and then at the ground floor, this is where the memory care is. 18-foot floor-to-floor is where we're at, retail lobby level. And then sort of setting back to that point of event. And this is how it sits in context. This is the 250-foot line, which does, you know, hop up to 290 across the street, but that puts it in context. So ready for questions?
Well, one of the things that this, I think, would help you guys a lot, and it's particularly in our discussion here, which you don't have, is a diagram, a massing diagram that shows what you're supposed to do via the guidelines. And that is, you know, the base, middle, top, and the setbacks, and how this one responds to that, but also differs from that. Because in fact, I think this differs a lot from those guidelines. I appreciate a lot of the talking points about you know, how you're articulating things by the uses that are on each of the floors. I also appreciate some of the kind of inflections that you're creating to respond to some of the different angles. All of that is good, but my issue is that it seems that you're not doing you know, a base within a setback and a tower, you know, above that base. What it looks like to me is almost, and that you talked about the one-point perspective making the top look bigger, but every single perspective in the section that I looked at, the top is bigger. And I think when I look at the perspectives, it's, in my opinion, it seems that this tower is upside down, and that top mass should probably be at the bottom, and then it breaks down in scale as you go up, rather than, you know, the first section is kind of narrower and shorter, the middle section is sort of even narrower and a little bit shorter, and then the top is this huge mass that's sort of levitating above those two bases. And I think that's almost perceptually opposite of what the guidelines are asking for. And so I think, you know, and that's a perception of looking at it, and I think that's a problem.
I think along the lines of what Paul was commenting on was there a programmatic reason as to putting the memory care assisted living components towards the bottom of the building and the IL at top? I think what Paul was suggesting was flipping everything around.
So there is an operational aspect. So as you can imagine, it's reverse acuity. So the highest acuity is at the lowest level of the ground, right? So we'll meet all the fire code and ability to defend in place, right, for people that can't get out of the building quickly. But typically, those residents don't need to go off. That's where all the views are, and that's for yourself and the independence out of it. And what you find is just, it is, right, we're in America, so you have this funnel as you get to, you know, the average age of residents could be 82 to 84, right? And that's the independent side. And as you age in place, you get older. And so it's just a natural funnel of the need, right? So in the marketplace, we look at, say, you know, as we look in the community, where is there a need? Well, first, it's independent living, where you need some assistance, but it's not assisted living, right? And then as you transition, there's just less need for assisted living versus memory care. So that it takes those two factors into consideration, then you say, okay, then that's how we put the segments, one, the lowest acuity down from an operational standpoint, and then there is it actually gets smaller for rates. You guys can talk about the size, because yes, there's a desire to have a little bit more space for operational efficiencies to manage the memory care system aspect.
Well, maybe
partly to answer. Well, reversal zoning, I think, makes sense. It's the massing that's the issue.
Yeah.
And so the articulation of each of the elements might be overstated.
Yeah.
I think that's the better way to say it. Rather than reversing where people are living.
Right.
I think
yes,
the independent living should be on top. I think then
from a
marketing point of view,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. And of course all the fire safety and all those kinds of issues with the people who are who need help should be close to the ground. So the vertical zoning is absolutely spot on. It's the massing
of that zone.
You're concerned
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Okay. It might be interesting to hear how the designer did or did not address the guidelines in terms of base, setback, etc. I mean, I notice that the V component on Wisconsin Avenue may be a vehicle, mm-hmm. if we understand it better,
right.
to yep. either address those issues, not get around them, but maybe you're addressing them properly.
Yeah.
We just haven't heard that.
Before he does that, one quick response, Paul, as well. I think that'll be important. I told them early on that I felt that they had some additional liberty in this case because it's a property that is surrounded by streets on three sides, and therefore it gets natural relief on both sides by a substantial margin, and as well that virtually all of the new buildings that are coming down, as you're saying, that are being built, have a base and then a step back. And I said, from my perspective, I like a little variety. And so I invited them to be creative in the architecture, but not pay, homage to the direct setback. But
and yeah, I really appreciate your comment because, I mean, that first horizontal line represents something like the base. And so most of they have the base and then they have a tower. And so maybe we're overstating the second horizontal line. Let's say that's one thing, and then to Bob's point about being on the corner and the fact, this image here, because Wisconsin has that little kink in it, you know, we're getting this corner view as sort of the evocative image for this project, and what happens on a tower, you know, it's really the hypotenuse of that tower, which represents the how you understand its mass, and a typical building along Wisconsin isn't doing that. It's pretty much a facade and so on, and so I think inherently there's an impression of mass that may be greater here for the site. But yeah, I would really like to go through our thought process because we feel like we were, you know, very careful to acknowledge everything in the guidelines and get your input on that. So starting with this concept here, 2.4.2b, that buildings taller than 200 feet that do not step back, the upper floor should have a build to line of at least 20 to 30 feet. And so, you know, we've accommodated that 25 on this. So that was a sort of a starting point, and then there's it's 22.4.7, I believe, where says that buildings on prominent corners. It says there in A. The building's full height may be expressed to the ground on important corners, and you know, we certainly think it's an important corner. And so for us, that sounded like, you know, that approach, along with what we previously said, with a more continuous tower versus a step back was feasible. And then at the bottom, in cases where a step back is not provided, another method to relate to the context of adjacent building heights and base conditions is a change of materials or clear regulating lines. And so that was sort of the idea of the reveals. And also, as Joel said, I mean, the window sizes and locations are going to look a little different on the three different parts of the tower. And so that happens. We've accommodated that. And
but to that point, I think on memory care will have a similar look, not the same, and then there'll be a difference between that and then that look.
Yeah, and we're not sure. I mean, perhaps one thing you do is have some kind of a grid, let's say, and maybe windows are bigger up at the top, and then they shift a little. So anyway, how that looks, of course, is to be determined. But I mean, James, what would you add to our thought process terms of getting to where we're at on the mass? Those are the two key things. We're on that prominent corner, and we are
go back to thought process and in the expression. So again, horizontally we're modulating the facade, vertically we're modulating the facade, we're turning it in to really simulate this step back idea. And then, in our opinion, we're still abiding by this guideline of a step back, but it's an alternative method. That if we are above 200 feet, we're coming back from that build to line a little bit more to give more public space on the street.
So I think what Paul is saying, you should have diagrams that show the street legal one. And frankly, I support a lot of what you're saying. So therefore, it becomes evident that your solution, you know, certainly because of all the highlighted exceptions that you've, you know, highlighted in yellow, et cetera, are valid. It's just that we need to see what the strict legal setbacks are as a reference to what you ultimately came up with. To me, I think could have some continuity from the ground plane all the way up to sort of hold the thing together. Right now it looks like stacked, you know plates, you know, a two-story plate, a four-story plate, eight-story plate, etc. And so much, you know, horizontal articulation as opposed to some kind of zipper or some kind of continuity that holds the whole building together, which is more or less, if you flip to the next image, you have one that has a three, that one. So you've got, in a sense,
these articulated zones that are actually articulated in red, you know, the four quadrants, et cetera.
In the middle.
Well,
here, the middle
third
one.
Oh, no, it's quite, that, oh, yeah. That has some sort of thing that holds it all together, you know, wraps the building, because your perspectives make it look really piecey. Uh-huh. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. So I think there's a lot to say for what you have done, but I think you can sort of hold it all together. Right now it's a little over-designed, I would say, for a preliminary. You know, it's very, specific.
Twisted concept is very interesting,
yeah.
But you, in your first and 11, page 11, there's two images very similar to your design, but you have a very consistent form.
More twists.
More
throughout.
Twists. Well, yeah, more twists, but yeah, that one and the one up there. But they look a little bit more, you know, consistent, or not so chopped up.
Maybe it's because the twists on this proposal is closer to the bottom and not the top.
Right.
That's
but to your point, I think that's what you're saying, because the twists are, we did it by segment.
Yeah.
And if you can actually continue the twist, it'll look consistent.
Well, but
you'll keep the, at least that'll be the
one
theme
on
throughout.
On the that's second the, row down on the right, I think, is out of control.
Yeah.
Consequently, I'm certainly not advocating a lot more twists and shout in your building, etc. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
you
want details.
But see, yeah, there's four consistent twists. It's not.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Independent living, because that's the majority of the floors, there's no break in that. So how do you break that up to keep the continuity between that segment within the building? That's what I'm hearing.
Right now we've got the assisted, the amenity spaces for these in, broken up in this. This amenity space is for this use, and this amenity space, I think, is for that use.
Right.
Might it be possible to move this amenity space to the top of it,
yes,
to provide a bigger base there,
exactly,
and then move that halfway up the building farther?
Well, possibly.
Or wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The point is that you've got a lot of wiggle operation.
Yeah.
And I think your observation that your freestanding building has merit in terms of the setbacks, but I think we need to see the relationship between sort of exact wording, if you will, of setbacks, etc. And then how
you
kind of achieve.
And we've done this for other projects,
yeah,
where you have, here's the fine line code.
Yes.
Here's how we varied this.
Exactly.
And this
exactly.
is visualizing. Here's how
we
varied this.
I think that
sure.
would help
that's
also in terms
yeah.
of all your public
yep.
presentations to show that you're really achieving.
And something yep. else we can include with that is sometimes we do sort of like a glass box that represents what's allowed, that's sort of, you know, translucent,
yeah.
but then we put our product and nothing's popping out of there. Kind of
it had to be very informative, particularly since you've got the Ds I talked about. I mean, there may be components that
yeah.
you may not even be aware of, but would help sell your case.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do have a comment about the tower. I mean, I absolutely agree. It's freestanding. I think the south facade, you know, Hamden is relatively narrow. Is it Hamden?
Yes.
Hamden, yes.
It's a relatively narrow site. We've got a very iconic building that is directly to the south view is going forward. When you talk about a tower and the idea of tying the components together vertically, you're not doing that, in my opinion. You're every third is isolated completely. You might consider on the north turn more of a top to bottom reading of the building, against which the setbacks of the other components could work. I think it would strengthen the building and give you a little bit of an asymmetrical design direction on the building. It would cut away the layering aspect a bit. Still allow it, but it's just an idea. But I think you can make much more of the tower component.
On that
key.
Prominent corner?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we did, I mean, there is something to that, because we, there was a look to tie those together. This, again, this process here, besides the two breaks, is consistent all the way up.
Okay, I
can
tell
line
that.
Goes, these two lines go all the way up. So there is language
to that.
Yeah,
that
we can,
it's just an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great opportunity.
I think that the perspective looking up Montgomery is also going to be an important one. I would love to see that view, particularly looking at the new tower that's going to be across the street.
or the other direction?
The other direction, looking up the hill, looking up Montgomery.
From the west.
From here looking back.
Yep.
Because what's across the street is Spring.
But this is Wisconsin here on the left.
Correct.
Going down, and so that corner is really.
Yeah, and the angle of your setback on that building and then creating essentially that plaza on Montgomery is great. And I think what you should be showing is how your building is actually going to frame that corner as you come up and then kind of turn on Montgomery to go east.
Do you think it's an issue the way they're showing the loading?
No.
Montgomery looking to the east.
No, this one.
Upper right.
Yeah, it's upper right corner.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, and everybody goes that way, so it's going to be very important.
Maybe farther off so you can see the.
Yeah, I'm interested.
You're right.
Yeah,
on the site plan, yeah, that way looking that way. Yes.
But maybe get a little closer.
A little closer. So that you see your setback. I think it's important. And so I think, you know, what you're doing, for instance, with those two fins that you have coming off of that elevation, you know, you might want to look at that a little bit more and how it impacts that opening of the view.
Okay. I put a shorty gallery. I think the juxtaposition between that classical dorm and here is very important.
To the south.
To the south.
Yeah.
Would you mind pointing that out? Just pointing out that DOT has to approve the access.
The next step.
And that there's need to be aware that it may be an issue.
Yeah, we think that.
Do you think it would be an issue? In case that they come back and they're pretty adamant that it needs to be on the one side. That's my point. I don't disagree. I'm just.
Yeah. The right now there's a hot right turn there for westbound or eastbound Montgomery to southbound Wisconsin. That's being eliminated with the bike lane, so it's all going to be incorporated into basically sidewalks.
That includes the modified.
And there's an open moment.
This is what it will be. I don't know if we have a picture of what it is today.
Yeah, it comes pretty straight.
This promenade is much bigger.
Yeah, exactly. There's a small pork chop there. That'll help it a lot.
Can you go back to the first floor plan for a second?
Well, actually, I'm sorry. Before we do that, since we're talking about the corner, Matt, on our team, can you go to that image, the site plan?
Go to the floor.
Ground
the lobby and the retail. That's a good view of it.
Yes.
That one. Well, I was going to ask what's happening down on the bottom.
Before you do that, because we were talking about the sidewalk and the thing, do you want to talk about the loading and access real quick?
Sure. I think you did a good job of summarizing the previous approval where the loading and access was off of Montgomery. Just wanted to point out that, you know, all the access has to be evaluated by the county DOT and State Highway Administration, so it might impact the design based on where they want to see the access. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, we're aware of that and starting that process. Yeah.
But as a general matter, we think this is an improvement over
what
you had before, or what was approved before.
Less congestion on Montgomery.
Yeah.
But placed on the use, and this is senior living. The number of cars are going in and out of here are minimal.
Traffic is minimalized. But our residents, the assisted living, it's all inclusive, right? So you have three meals a day. There's commercial kitchen. You have food delivery, but that can be done off hours. And there's trash, pickup that can be done.
You have
to coordinate all that.
And you also have daily trips in your vans and go places.
Correct.
And so I think you've handled that in a nice way. I mean, some people would be concerned about the drop off on Hamden. But I think it actually, with one, it's necessary for the function.
Absolutely.
And two, I think it's working well.
We look at it, right, as we look at all our designs, it's like, we envision dropping off our own mom or dad, right? And say, okay, how do we create a drop-off that just is inviting and doesn't, Montgomery in that corner is a little bit busier. So if I could have a quieter drop-off and pick up for dinner, because there's all these restaurants we can go to that are a block away, how do we accommodate that? And so that's how we view the drop-off.
The reservoir for the drop-off is minimal. And there's going to be a queuing for drop-off.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. Sunday for brunch.
And right? Sunday for brunch.
But Wisconsin, what is the regulatory requirements along Wisconsin going south? Because in a sense, there's going to be drop-off there when you think about it.
In terms of drop-off?
Yeah, because it's going to be, this is going to be a bottleneck. I mean, let's be perfectly honest, because there's going to be four or five cars waiting. So Wisconsin is going to be the default Plan B. And so,
we will get no drop-off in Wisconsin. That's a given. State will not allow that. Not a chance.
In fact, we're removing the curb cut.
He doesn't mean permit.
I don't mean curb cuts or anything.
Actual.
So operationally, would there be parking meters along Wisconsin, or are there?
Are there meters on that block?
Hamden is very quiet and will remain that way. So even if that were back up, there's room for additional cars on Hamden there. I don't think there's an issue on Wisconsin.
There's parking.
But to answer, what's your answer?
My question.
The way you handle it is also operational, right? So our lobby is right here. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have a desk right as you come in that main entrance. So, you know, because of the prominent location,
you think this is a queuing issue?
You can operationally create a valet, right? It's like a hotel, and then as you need it, you could stage and say it just comes down to coordination of knowing that so and so, because they typically the resident when they know they're going out to brunch, mm-hmm. they come down, they sit. Mm-hmm. There's gonna be a sitting room in here in the lobby. As they wait for whoever's picking them up, and then it's just a matter of coordinating with the residents.
Okay, so just as a point of clarification, how many of these people who are dropping off would then immediately hang a right and go down in the parking, you know, for temporary, et cetera, and then they come up on the other side? So that's really the issue, or do they just drop off and go away? I mean, you probably have some numbers on that in terms of what's the percentage? I mean, there's no guarantee of
percentage on who drops off and goes down. Like, that's just a function of the building itself.
There is public parking.
We're going to have two floors of parking below with elevator access. So to your point,
right.
If it's coordinated, you can just have the person pull down and say, this is where I'm picking up mom.
Should be one.
Down in the garage and then you come back out.
Okay. And then when you come back up,
you would come out here.
You would come out
back
there,
up here.
And then hang a left.
Yes, you would hang a right, go down Hampton. Because you're probably going to retail, which is, you know, a block away, right? Or, you know, starting a block away. That's a row. I mean, you're going to go to the restaurants, you're going to go to the grocery store.
And, I mean, not to nitpick, but the lobby hanging and going around and being on the corner rather than retail. In other words, why do we need the lobby?
This is sort of a trend that we see in all forms of multi-housing, that we call an active lobby. And to your earlier point, you know, people want to feel like they're part of the community, and sometimes we think about you used to have these mausoleum lobbies and so on. And so the line between the retail and the lobby might be
it's arbitrary, right? Okay.
It's.
I mean, I was just thinking that the lobby could be straight out to the seating area, etc., as opposed to on the corner, and it would separate two retail potentials. Because look at all that nice, you know.
Frontage.
Yeah, on the corner.
Access to the seat, for sure.
Yeah. And in other words, I realize
I
this is all wiggle.
Yeah.
Room out,
but the way
the thought process
it,
behind it was that as a resident is coming into their front door, that the active lobby of their front door would be accessed by that location.
And our approach to senior housing is, you know, we try to create an environment that's engaging, right? We don't, as we age, we don't want to just be, well, I'm going out, you know, I want to be part of an active community where I'm engaging and I have the ability to interact. And so we like that the lobby ties next to the beach. Could be a coffee shop, could be whatever. And so there's this way to, you know, when you see intergenerationalism, and maybe you partner with the school down the street and you say, look, you know, kids, you know, high school kids interface with the, you know, seniors, and then seniors interface with the, you know, the high school kids. And it creates a flourishment within life of the people that live in our community. So you're celebrating life instead of saying, I've gotten to this point, I'm 80 now, I'm moving to senior housing, I'm, you know, 85, whatever, I'm moving out to, you know, suburban, which is typically has been the case in senior housing. That's not our approach. Ours is much more vibrant approach in the building. You walk up, you don't think it's senior housing. It looks like a place any of us would want to live. It just happens to be we have a, you know.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense, because if people can't drive, you want to be someplace where you can walk, and this is ideal
for that.
Walkability
for that
absolutely.
Age is not five blocks, it's a block, two blocks.
Yeah.
So this is why it is an ideal location.
Score of 96.
Plus the metro, most of the staff, so the caregivers are typically, you know, minimum wage type individuals that are providing the care. So they're not driving, they're taking the metro. So the convenience of the metro from a staff perspective is phenomenal. So you really have an idea.
Well, it's a great location.
Yes.
We have a new saying is, we want our walk score to be higher than the age of our average resident.
But no question, the concept of senior living at this location is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And yep. I think, in general, you're really very close to where you need to be. I think the things we said earlier might paint the building a little bit better from the design standpoint. Maybe not. That's up to you to tell us. But I think that your observation is right.
Those are useful comments.
Conveying the site plan with all the trees, I kind of paid them. That's a lot of applicants coming without showing a render site plan, so I'll thank you to for that. You sure you want to put trees in front of your most prominent corner? Which is great.
I think that we want the canopy to be high enough that you can have an active streetscape.
Mm-hmm.
With the transparency of the lobby, but we do want greenery right there where you're walking.
Well, outside and inside.
We need some greenery too.
Yeah,
frankly,
it really softens everything up. Yeah.
I think this building is going to appear to sit in an oasis of green. I think it's very unusual for something this urban.
So one thing I would add in this, something it's not so much for the design, but it's more for the application. Is so my father was not so long ago in a similar place, and there are a lot of visitors, and so I'm assuming that the parking you're providing is for residents and not visitors, and so I think explaining where the visitors are going to park, I mean, you have public parking garages across the street, but I think having an answer for that would be of use.
I agree, because the whole drop off and then find the parking, you know, and we're dropping off on on the right here, so we're going to go around the block, etc. Anyway, and so just trace the route from general plan.
Yeah.
What is the park? What's the operational kind of program for the parking? Is it for residents or is it for the guests?
It'll be for both. You know, I think you all have mainly independent living assist living members here, not going to have
and parking
and some staff,
people that work there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think you'll be able to accommodate all three of those groups. So I don't think you're going to see full access.
Mother's Day might get tight.
Yeah, certain days for sure will be.
I mean, that, you are in the location for that kind of stuff, and for the public parking.
Right. And typically on the weekends, the public garages are, you know, wonderful.
And it's just
as
we
show where they are.
Correct.
Yeah.
And as the design molds to where it's going operationally, then we look at it and say, okay, here's now the box that we're working in, and we can tweak operationally how it works, and so it's. And we're seeing in multiple urban locations that we're doing throughout the United States. Just it is, you know, just coordination with the operational team, and then we're doing it.
And by the way, nobody mentioned the rooftop development, but I think that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Wellness is a big thing for us. Wellness is a big thing.
And by the way, since this building is going to be viewed from a distance, the excitement of the design of that and the illumination at night, things like that. Mm-hmm. Will really make this more of an iconic building.
Sounds like you might move
in. Yeah, I'm just going to say
that. Change your opinion? We can provide home health, by the way.
I just put my grass through the internet by grandparents. Well, I do understand the amendment. I think the rooftop health is important.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you go to the perspective? So I think one thing that I like about this is the way that you've broken down the height of the building by making it, you know, the sort of the three pieces. And there have been comments about, you know, how to articulate those. But I think that one thing that I think will be important going forward as you move sort of beyond just white stuff is how you fenestrate that without sort of losing the mass. I think some of the precedents that you're showing for the masonry are very nice, but I would just make that comment. Are there any other comments from the panel?
Yeah,
Okay, would anybody from the public like to make a comment?
I have just one last thing about
okay.
brick. Have you looked at other materials for continuity? The word brick is, if you break it up into three zones or something, you're going to have a lot of spandrels and stuff like that.
Actually,
the brick, etc., whereas opposed to framing, which is some of your other.
I was going to say, actually, we'd like to maybe not necessarily tie to brick, just
right.
call it masonry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's.
And I think that you'll see what I've seen done in other, sometimes more historic contexts, mm-hmm. is, you know, more of a historic looking facade on a lower level than modern glass.
And we are prepared to surprise the dishes. Yeah. Thank you.
Change. I don't know if we're going to go that drastic, but I think that there's the amount of glazing is where I think you start to see the difference and it softens. You know, between the more masonry on the lower part and then less masonry on the top of the glass. What that percentage is, we're still in the early stages of, you know, obviously this is more of a getting to the block and make sure the block makes sense before we get down that path. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the,
yeah,
the you know, feedback.
I'm looking forward to the vinyl siding and pediment.
A big front porch with rocking chair.
It would look like the hotel, like it was really, just.
But not to do.
But not to do.
We'll take pictures.
But I'm still a proponent for some continuity.
Yeah.
Not, you know, architect A, architect B, architect C. I want.
But then you can pull them out and like put them in a new one.
Exactly.
Okay. Any comments from anybody else?
But terrific presentation.
Thank you, sir.
Very thorough, very good, and a terrific idea.
That's a good use.
Sense.
Amanda, did you want to say anything?
I had two questions, and Naomi had some comments that she had to leave, but I think she submitted them. I don't really have comments. I generally like what I'm seeing here. It's nice. My questions were, so you have some outdoor seating along Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Is that like public use space, or is that specifically for the restaurant or retail, or?
Naomi raised that question at the outreach meeting.
Okay.
We haven't really decided yet. We got to figure out what the tenant would be. We understand the concern about public being public and not private, so we've got to look at that.
And also just, you know, having benches. Like you said, these people want to walk, but maybe they can't
yeah.
go very far, so making
mm-hmm.
sure they have a sit. And then the rooftop garden, is that enclosed? And if so, because it's also above the does that count towards
density? No, it would be open space. The amount of enclosed space would be within the 25% cap. So most of it is green
roof.
So
it's mostly open.
So the thought is most of it's open, and then you can create this solarium with kind of like an ana wall. I mean, you're only going to open it up. By the way, as our residents, typically they want it to be warm. They're always cold, so. And when it gets hot here in summer, which it does, it's, you know, I live in Dallas, it gets humid, and it gets humid here. You know, when the weather's great for that, you know, season or so, maybe a month at a time, you open the doors up and create this greater environment, but then you can close it and still have that ability to go up and use that space year round. I mean, we want it 24/7, 365 usable, because it's a great space for the residents. So creating that way to the nano wall or the way to open it up to create a, you know, great day in June, you know, that's when you
yeah.
do it. Probably not in July because that's too hot. And then
yeah.
back again sometime, maybe end of August or September, Labor Day, you have a good party out there.
September 24th.
Not this year.
I know, it's still
yeah,
hot here.
90 tomorrow.
Yeah, really.
A day like today would be great up there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Day.
Exactly.
Day.
So
day a year, right?
With a few heaters. Yeah.
All right,
thank
so
you.
If there are no other comments, then I'll ask Matt to summarize the issues that were raised, and then we'll do our straw vote.
Okay. I have that the applicant should submit diagrams showing what strict conformance to the design guidelines would look and how the proposal differs from that at the time of the sketch plan submittal. The panel supports the twisted expression of the facade, but cautions not to overdo it.
We'll change the phrasing on that one.
I'm not an architect. That the applicant should consider moving the amenity space within the vertical expression of the facade to give more of a base middle top reading to the building. That the panel's supportive of the landscape and streetscape concept, including the open space along Wisconsin Avenue, And that they're supportive of the rooftop amenity as it'll contribute to how the building is viewed from a distance.
The only other thing is I suggested the tower component might be emphasized as a tower.
Yeah, the vertical treatment could be more consistent all the way through.
And vertical continuity.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all over.
On the corner.
Possibly on the corner, yeah. Et cetera.
Where it matters.
We want to see a view.
Okay. So thank you. So at this time, then the panel will take a straw vote to, and your options are support the project, support with conditions, or not support the project. So who votes to support the project? Support the project with conditions. That's everybody. And with Rod not here, so the panel doesn't identify any red flags, but supports with the guidance that's been provided. So I think this will serve as your sketch plan DAP visit, and I think we'll look forward to you coming back at site plan.
Thank you.